Lord, to know you is to experience a hope that cannot die. Lord, to know you is to have the power to be able to cope with the things that life throws at us, Lord. Oh Jesus, thank you that we can know you. Lord, thank you. You know us so much more than we can know you, Lord. You know everything about us. Bless us and help us to realize that your knowledge is able to help us to cope with everything that we face. Because, Lord, there's nothing outside your knowing and understanding, Lord. You can watch over us. You can keep us. You can bless us. And we thank you. We can rest in your presence. We bless you, Lord. Pray for your grace as we look at your word now. In the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thought you liked the picture to start with, you know. Yeah, the element of surprise. But it's a human problem. The human problem, it comes from the psalm there. When you did these things and I kept silent, you thought I was exactly like you. The problem with humans is we make God like ourselves. God made man in his image. But the problem is man makes God in his image with his limitations and his fallen ways and so on. That's not God. To know God, we need to ask God to show us what he's really like, okay? And we're going to look at some of these, more of these things about knowing God this morning. Right, next then, please. God has certain abilities that we can't have. Well, you wouldn't be surprised at that, would you? I mean, if God's God, we're not quite in his league at all. God has certain abilities, and one of these is God knows everything about everything. And the more we learn, the more you realise how little you learn. Is that your experience as well? The vast amount of knowledge that's available now, you think, I know nothing. But God knows everything about everything. From the biggest supernova out there to the tiny little creatures that crawl around in your house. God knows everything about everything. And the word for it is, God is omniscient. It comes from two words, omni meaning all, and scient, or from science, mean knowledge. So God has all knowledge. That's what we'll be looking at. But this it's very important we get it in the right way. So the next one will tell us how not to get it. God isn't like Big Brother. You've heard about Big Brother. You know, there's surveillance cameras everywhere. Apparently you turn up on 10 cameras every day somewhere in the system. At least, I guess, nowadays. Big Brother is watching you as if he's out there to get you, to catch you out and to do you wrong. And I'm afraid some believers, some people, Christians we'll call them, yeah, have got this idea of God. He's out there to get you. Somehow with a big stick, just waiting for you to do something wrong and clonk, he'll get you. That's not God. So it's not like Big Brother. And I've got this lovely verse in the psalm. God knows. Yes, and it says, indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. And when it says, watches over Israel, it doesn't mean to say he's on the lookout for your problems. He's watching in terms of caring for us. Yeah? So, there we are. He's not like Big Brother with his omniscience. Next slide, please. So we're going to read a psalm. It's a psalm that's been a very special psalm for me. And a friend of mine, many years ago, gave it the name, the God Knows Me psalm. He liked it too. And so we're going to read it, and then we'll look at what it says. It's Psalm 139, it's for the director of music of David, a psalm. Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in, behind and before. You've laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. If only you would slay the wicked, O God. Away from me, you bloodthirsty men. They speak of you with evil intent, and your adversaries misuse your name. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord, and abhor those who rise up against you? I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Thank you, Lord, for God's word. Well, let's have a look at some of those verses as we go along. Yeah. O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. The word me isn't in there. It sounds a bit more sort of more powerful to me. O Lord, you have searched me and you know. Everything. He knows everything about us. The Lord knows everything about us. So that's what we're going to be thinking about. Next one, please. You know when I sit, when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out, my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. That's just about everything you do, isn't it, really? Sitting down, I've got you in front of the telly there. God knows what you watch as well, you see. When you stand up, when you move around, you know my thoughts from afar. God knows your thoughts. How about that? What's going on in that little head of ours, those grey cells at work? God knows what we're thinking. Yeah. You know my going out, when I go outside, and when I lie down to bed. So you are familiar with all my ways. He's ticked every box that you've got. He knows everything about what you do and how you think. Is that worrying?
Yeah.
It shouldn't be. Yeah. Right, okay. Right, depends if something to hide. You can't hide anything, but you think you can. Right, next one, please. Before a word is on my tongue, Lord, you know it completely. So God knows what you're going to say before you say it. Yes, perhaps it might be helpful if we thought that as well. Yeah? Before you say what you're going to say, think about what you're going to say. Yes, but God knows what you're going to say even before you've got it in your head. He sounds like he knows everything, doesn't he? Yes, he's involved in all the minutiae of life. That's mind-boggling to my mind. How can God know all these things all at the same time? Because he's God. We're not in the same league, dear friends, at all. Next one, please. Yeah? I like this one. You hem me in behind and before. You lay your hand upon me. Yeah, there he is. Little old sheep hemmed in. Very nice, eh? What does to be hemmed in mean? The problem with human beings is we want to be free. We're stupid, really. Yeah. We want to be free to do what we want. And the guarantee is if you do what you want, you'll find yourself getting hurt. Yeah. God hems us in. He protects us from other things, but from ourselves as well. So God is there to look after us. You lay your hand upon me. Is that wonderful?
Yeah.
Do you know, one of the most lovely experiences I had in a prayer meeting many, many years ago now was, as I was praying, I really felt it was if Father's hand was on my head. Yeah, you lay your hand upon me. It's great to know God cares for us, isn't it? Lovely, yeah? So, little sheep, contented sheep, are you? Good, very good. Next one, please. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. There, you know what the mountain is, do you?
Yes.
The Matterhorn.
It's the Matterhorn. It's the Matterhorn, this one, yes. It's pretty steep. I mean, people can climb it, but the idea that the psalmist says, Lord, I can't take it in. And honestly, dear friends, the more you think about the knowledge that's out there, God knows all of that, and extra, of course, everything. It's mind-boggling. such knowledge is too wonderful, too lofty for me to reach. I can't get up to where even thinking about it is bringing me in the limit of in the range. Yeah, next slide, please. Yeah. How about this? Where can I grow from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? He doesn't mean he's going to run away. He's just saying, Lord, where can I go where you aren't? That's another omni. I don't know if you know that. We're talking about the omniscience of God. That's the all-knowing power of God. But there's another omni that this verse tells us. And that's God's omnipresence. He's everywhere at the same time. That's good as well, isn't it? So he says here, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? Again, interesting, isn't it? We were talking about last week, spirit, Holy Spirit, presence, the angel of the Lord. Anyway, next one please. If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. So if you go upwards, apparently they went to the moon and they still had a Bible reading on the moon, around there, didn't they? God's not out of range on the moon, it would seem, yes? He's up there, and this is below the ocean. That one meant to be below the ocean. I make my bed in the depths. Yes, I know of a submarine prayer. You've heard of his name? The guy who prayed in the submarine?
Jonah.
Yeah, God heard his prayer. You can't get away. He's there. He's always there. Wonderful. Next one, please. How about this? I like this. It's a beautiful poetry, isn't it? If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, that's the light, it begins to travel fast as the sun comes up, you know, on the wings of the dawn. Well, where does the dawn come up, do you know? It's in the east. Are you sure now?
Yeah.
Right, unless you're living in the wrong kind of world, the sun rises in the east.
The earth going around, not the sun.
Ah, well, that's how we experience it, you see. The Bible writes from the man's perspective rather than how the overall science of it is, yeah? So it's what we call geocentric. Mm-hmm. Well, that's a good word, isn't it? There you are. Okay, so if you rise on the wings of the dawn, that's the east. If I settle on or settle on the far side of the sea. Well, remember, this is a Jewish man writing, it's David. And what does the sea mean to David? Which sea is he talking about? The Mediterranean. That's the big sea, you know, when you go to the coast. And this is a picture, a very small picture of Haifa, Jaffa, that's on the coast of the Mediterranean. And you're looking out to the Mediterranean. And he's saying, if I go from the east to... Well, where's the Mediterranean as far as Israel is concerned? It's on the west. Right. So he's saying, I can go up, I can go down, I can go west, I can go east. And still, you're there. Even there, your right hand will hold me fast. I like that.
God, yes. Why is the compass that way around?
Because the pictures are east and west. Yes. I know that's not how it is. I mean, you need to turn it around to see the right way. But the picture, because the reason I did that is that the text starts with the east. You see, if I rise on the wings, if I rise on the wings of the dawn, so it starts with the east and then goes to the west. Yeah, like the sun does, east to west. So we're travelling, right? Is it left to right? Left to right, yeah. Left to right. There we are. Anyway, you've got the idea. Wherever you go, God is there. Right? That's wonderful. That's beautiful to know that. You know. Think about it. For some dear souls, brothers and sisters who are struggling because of persecution or whatever, to know that God's there with them. Even though we might be in some place where it's cosy and comfortable. Are you warm enough, by the way? Feeling a bit cool, or you alright, yeah? See, well, you're okay. Thank the Lord for that, eh? Next slide, please. Oh, right hand. I meant to say right hand. Right hand. It's God's hand of power. Well, he's got the power to help you. Next slide, please. Oh, about this. Oh, I like this one. I made this especially for you. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, then the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you, the night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. Yeah. One of the amazing things about new technology, and you see this in these natural world programs, is the development of infrared photography. Yeah. And you can have this infrared lamp, and you can use an infrared camera, and you can see what's going on, and the animals you're watching have no clue that the light's shining, because they don't see infrared. Amazing, isn't it? Mm-hmm. So you can see in these places and observe animals doing things in the dark. We can see it. Well, I've got news for you. God invented infrared before we knew about it. He can see in the dark. He doesn't need it. I'll tell you, he doesn't even need infrared to see.
No.
He can see anything. So God can see. What he's saying is, if you feel anxious, I'm isolated, I'm in the dark, I don't know what's happening, I have no clue of what's going on around me. Well, you might not, but God has. He knows what's going on. He's not in the dark. God is able to see. He says, wonderful, isn't it? The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. God has no problem seeing. Yeah? He who made the eye is perfectly capable of seeing. So God can see where you are, even if you feel stuck. He's there. Next one, please. Thought you midwives would like this one. Yes. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. Well, David didn't have the advantage of ultrasound scans. But there we are, a beautifully formed baby in the womb. How about that? Yes. You knit me together. Did you know God is good at knitting? there you are. He says, you put me together like that. And you need to grasp, this is a beautiful verse. It's a wonderful verse. Because it says that God knows you as you are, and he's made you as you are, with all your funny ways, funny shapes, and all of that stuff. And you know, you're amazing. You are amazing. Every one of you is an amazing piece of engineering. I don't know, you might get a present this Christmas, one of those DIY build-it type things, you know, or one of those model kits. I don't like making models, you know, occasionally, just a bit to relax it. And you get this piece, you get this box with 900 screws in, yeah, and 3,000 pieces, and a little plan, and you think, how am I going to do this, you know? You figure it out. Well, friends, if that's amazing, and it is, you look at a human being. Fingers, nose, ears, all of that. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And you can say that in front of the mirror, yourself, in the morning. Remember that? I am fearful. Oh, mirror, mirror on the wall. Who's the most fearfully, wonderfully made of all? Yeah. And you say, you are. Right? Your works are wonderful. God made you. Yeah. Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
We are unique. Each one special. Special by God's creation. That's great. Yeah, next one, please. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. Do you know what this is?
Yeah.
It's a zygote, a single cell human being. That's what you looked like once.
Yeah.
It's a good photo of you, that one. And the amazing, again, I'll tell you, it is astounding. The more you know about it, in that single cell is every bit of information needed to turn out somebody like you. Isn't that incredible? Your eyes saw my unformed body. Yes, and he knew how he was going to turn you out as well. It's amazing. So, dear friends, important lesson, and it's an important one these days. Yeah, that's a human being. Yeah, it's not an it, it's not a fetus, it's a human being. It's a baby. Not started very big yet, but it's a baby. And we don't go around wiping out babies, do we? We shouldn't. Our society does, I'm afraid. And so God made you even right from the little blob that you were. How is that? It's amazing, isn't it? It's wonderful. And apparently, so I'm told, and actually I've seen the videos of this, but the egg, the ova, that's in the woman's womb, right, and the sperm that comes along and fuses with the egg, yeah, the moment that they fuse, it produces a flash of light. Yeah. Isn't that amazing?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? Life begins with light, it would seem. Yeah? So, here we are. Anyway, that's your I saw my unformed body. Yes. All the days, now this is an interesting one, all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Did you know God's got a book? Mm-hmm. Well, I don't suppose he's got a literal book, but he's got such a good memory, he doesn't need books like I do and you do. Yeah, but it's written, why did he say it was written in a book? Because it's permanent. There's something there. Someone said that about our computers, you know. When the power goes off, the words disappear. In a book, they stay there. Yes? Well, that's what the idea is, of course. God has got a permanent, detailed plan for your life and mine. Before anyone came into being, all those days, they were written in the book. So that means you're a robot, does it?
No.
You can choose to follow the plan, dear friends. And God knows what things you'll do to turn off the plan as well, of course. But he's got a good plan for you. A good and perfect plan for your life. Yeah? That's how much he cares. So all of these things are written down in the book before they happen. So what do you think we should do when we start our day in the morning? Lord, I give myself to you today. Guide me and show me what you want me to do and to be. Yeah, that's probably a good thing. Lord, I know you've got a plan for today. Well, help me to discover it as I go along. That doesn't mean to say he tells you everything that's going to happen straight away, you know. Some of it unfolds. There are mysteries here, but God knows, and he's got a plan for our lives. Next slide, please. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I'm still with you. So how many grains of sand are on that beach, would you suggest? You can do estimates, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah? Oh, yeah. If you measured the depth, and you measured the breadth, and, of course, you got the volume, and then you measure a small quantity of sand and work out how many grains are in that small quantity, multiply it by the volume, and you've got the answer.
Yes.
It's a big answer, I'll tell you. So, but he didn't have a calculator like we do, you know. But he says, how precious to me are your thoughts. Lord, what you think about me is amazing. It's precious. Yeah? And how vast is the sum of them? That's a big number. A really big number. God thinks about everything and all the details of your life. Now, is that scary? I hope not. Because what this psalm is trying to convey to us is that God loves you. He cares about you. And he wants you to have the best of all the things that he's got ready and stored up for us, yeah? Outnumber the sands. And then he says, when I awake, well, he obviously dozed off while he was praising the Lord, didn't he? Have you done that?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You're praying, my wife does it mostly, rather than me. When you're praying, when you're praying, you know, you say amen, and there's no response. It has happened the other way as well, I think, darling.
Usually the other way.
Anyway, he's gone to sleep praising the Lord, and when he wakes up, he's still praising the Lord. Yeah, that's good. What's the first thoughts that come into your mind? I'm not being probing or anything. What's the first thoughts that come into your mind when you wake up? Is it, thank you, Lord, it's a new day. Yeah. Rather than all the worries and the cares. Have the Lord at the start. Okay. Next one, please. Now, this bit sounds a bit incongruous, but it's important. If only God, you would slay the wicked. Away from me, you are bloodthirsty. They speak of you with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. You see, David, thinking about how much God knows and how he cares, there's a problem with that. And the problem is this, that if God knows everything, why on earth does he allow all the horrible stuff to go on that we see in our world? Yeah. And that's the question. Why does an all-knowing God allow evil to continue in this world? And he's saying, oh Lord, if only you'd sort it out. Now that's not being nasty or anything, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's wanting this world to be as it was meant to be. Oh Lord, sort out the wicked. Of course, if we ask God to remove all the wicked, most of us would disappear as well at some point in time, wouldn't we? Yeah? But when you know the Lord and you begin to love the Lord, you begin to realise how much there are that is wrong in our world that needs fixing.
Mm.
Oh Lord, if only you do that. Oh Lord, would you slay the wicked?
Mm.
Yeah? And I don't want to be involved in this evil. That's really what he's saying there.
Mm.
Next sentence, please. Yeah? Right. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord? Well, that's an interesting phrase, isn't it, yeah? Are we meant to hate God's enemies?
No.
We should love them. Yes. But what does it, well, yes, alright, that's right. Yeah, we might have to love the enemies because, you know, Paul in Romans says, while we were enemies, Jesus died for us.
Amen.
So enemies can be won over, that's the good thing. But he's thinking about those who don't want to know, couldn't care less, and hell-bent, literally. Mm-hmm. And he's saying, Lord, I hate that. Rather than thinking of the persons, think of the things that they do.
Mm-hmm.
We're to hate the sins, but love the sinner.
Mm-hmm.
And the things that he's saying, I have nothing but hatred for them, I count them my enemies. You're allowed to hate one person I know of.
Satan.
And he's working. Yes. And God is repelled by the evil there, and the believer's heart should be the same. When we see something wicked and evil, does it make you angry?
Yeah.
Do you feel like we want to see justice, Lord? Yeah? That's what it's about. Yeah, that's what he's saying there. Right, next one, please. I put this in. Jean didn't like this picture particularly. She thinks it's a bit gruesome. But I chose a very moderate one, really. It's a heart operation. Yeah? Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me. So he's opening himself up to God. Do you do that?
Yeah.
Lord, here I am. Search me, O God. That's not an easy prayer to pray. And be prepared for some interesting answers.
Mm-hmm.
Search me, O God, know my heart. And he says, test me and know my anxious thoughts. Lord, really what he's saying is this. God, you know me better than I know me. And there are things that I can fool myself about that everything's all right in the garden. That aren't all right in the garden. And so, Lord, I want you to look at my life and guide me in the way that I should be. Test me, know my anxious thoughts, see if there's any offensive way in me. Is there something wrong in my life? Now that doesn't mean to say we're all living sort of depressed and miserable about not having everything right all the time, of course. But he's saying, Lord, guide me, you know, sort me out.
Mm-hmm.
Sort me out, Lord, because anybody perfect here yet?
No.
No, I don't think so, no. So, yes, we need the Lord to, and how does God searches and know our hearts? What's one of his ways of doing that? His Holy Spirit, read the Word. If you read the Bible and you start seeing someone behaving just like you behave, and they get a flea around the ear for it, you know, then you may, maybe I need to change that well, you know. So the Word exposes us to God's ways of thinking, and that's really, really important. That's why God's word there, and the Holy Spirit. Sometimes you must have done this. You've done something, or thought something, or said something, and you've had that little check in your mind.
Yeah.
Oh, shouldn't have done that.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe the Holy Spirit's doing a little bit of jogging the thoughts on that one, stirring your conscience up.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's good. God wants us to get it right and to live in a way that pleases Him. Search me and know my heart. Wow, yes, well, he knows it already, but why does he say, search me and know my heart? Because God knows already. What's he asking for? He's asking God to show him what God knows about him already.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he's really saying. Search me, Lord, what do you know already? But it's a way of saying is, Lord, show me what you know that needs fixing.
Yeah.
Next slide, please. Knowing God. Lead me in the way everlasting. How about that? That's what it's about. God, his knowledge about you is in order to lead you in the way that's life forever, the way everlasting.
Mm-hmm.
And you're on the journey of discovery, I suspect. And this is a challenge for you, brothers and sisters. Would you say you've got to know things about the Lord and got to know the Lord better this year than you did the year before?
Yeah.
One hopes so. It's not... I must say though, we're not always the best judges for ourselves of how much progress we've made. We're not, are we really? But, you know, we're trying. Lord, we're trying. Yeah, he said, yeah, very trying, yes. We're trying, oh Lord. Lead me in the way everlasting, yes. So, Lord, lead me to go on with you. Because, do you know, We're going to be with him forever. So I don't want it to be a total shock to the system for when I go to meet Jesus and you say, by gum, you've got a long way to go, didn't you, Dennis, really? Well, I know that's true, but I want to get off somewhere on the journey. So it's not a total wreck of a transformation in order to make me like he wants. So lead me in the way everlasting. There is more, and I've just got a couple more things, or one more, or two here. God's omniscience means that his promises and plans cannot fail. If God knows everything, whatever plan he makes, he's counted in all the possibilities of what could alter or could change. When he makes a plan, he knows it's going to work.
Yeah.
Yes? I mean, that's our human problem, isn't it? It's the things you don't know that turn up that cause... I mean, builders have this all the time. You know, you see these on these tele programs where they're going to have a place made, dug out and built out and all this thing. And they start digging and oops, they hit something that they hadn't thought was there. Mm-hmm. Or they find that there wasn't the thing there that they thought there should have been. Mm-hmm. You know, the unknowns causes problems. Mm-hmm. God does not have unknowns. Mm-hmm. So his plans guaranteed to work. Yes. Mm-hmm. So his plans can't fail. So you better believe them. You can believe what God promises. Yes,
yeah.
Because he knows what he's doing. Mm-hmm. So this is a lovely verse. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm, and all of them are righteous. He's not going to be changing them, because they're sorted.
Yeah.
They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They're sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. By them is your servant warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. He's talking about God's word. As we were saying, it guides you in the right way. But there's a blessing in that. Do you know, God's word can feed you, mm-hmm. encourage you. And there's a bit of honeycomb for you, just before dinner time. How about that? Very nice. So, sweeter than honey. Does anybody like honeycomb?
Yeah.
All right, very good. Yes. So, just think about it. Next time you have something, Lord, this is how the Bible's meant to be for me. An experience of joy. Next sentence, yeah? So the last one, yeah? Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Well, David was talking about the Lord God, Father. Mm-hmm. But the Lord is Jesus as well. And Jesus has the same attributes as Father has. And just see one of these, omnipotence. You know, that's another one, omni one, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Omnipotence is all power. Mm-hmm. God has all power, all authority. Yes? And so Jesus says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. So Jesus got all power too, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Right, so he's able to, the good thing about omnipotence, when you have omnipotence and omniscience, it means he can do what he's planned to do because he's got the ability to do it. Mm-hmm. He said he's Saviour, dear friend. If you put your trust in Jesus, God says, I will save you. Now, does that mean you say you can get lost then? I don't think it is. If he gives you eternal life, eternal sounds very long to me. God's promised to keep you. Now that doesn't mean to say you go off being stupid and presuming on his grace and whatever, but God's made a fixed promise. If he's going to save you, he'll get you. In fact, was it the Canadian Mounties? You know what their text is? We get our man! That's written in the door over heaven, yeah? God says, we get our woman, of course, yeah? We get our man. That's what happened with Saul of Tarsus. He was on the run. And God tracked him down. C.S. Lewis said the same. You heard of the great atheist, C.S. Lewis, who became one of the great defenders of the faith. C.S. Lewis says, I was dragged kicking and screaming into the kingdom. He was a reluctant disciple to start with. We get our man. That's Jesus for you. So, if Jesus has got the omnipotence, he's giving you and me the job. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Notice that's Trinitarian? You get that? Yeah, all right, good. Yeah. And teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. So that's the job we've to do. I was really struck by the thought, we're to teach people to obey. Brothers and sisters, we can't make people obey. You know, some religions have tried that in the past. You shall do this, that, the other, whatever it is. We can't make people obey. No more than we can make little children be quiet. Mm-hmm. But it's not a problem, is it?
No.
We teach them, and then it comes from the heart. We teach them to obey, because what God wants is your obedience, but he wants it a willing obedience. We teach them, right? So, that's the job. With the backing of omnipotence, yes, we can go. And omniscience means he can do it all, because he's got it all worked out. The plans are there. Right, so, and then lastly, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. We're back to his omnipresence again. Wherever you go, and I'm with you always, it's all the time. That's how he says it in the original Greek. All the day. All the days. All day, every day, Jesus is with you. Now, we may not always be aware of that, but he is. Mm-hmm. Yeah? So, may the Lord help us to grasp a little bit more of how much he loves us. Mm-hmm. Yeah? Oh Lord, you've searched me and you know. And you know, this is the amazing thing. He knows and he still loves us. Isn't that fantastic? That's called grace, brothers and sisters. Yeah? We've not earned any of it, and we get all of it. Isn't that wonderful? So I hope I've encouraged you with that. You enjoy that psalm. Take it with you. And if you go from the east to the west, up or down, you'll still find he's there before you've got there. Let's pray. Loving Lord, thank you for your encouragements. Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters here. Perhaps some feel in a dark place at the moment, and they think the night's going to crowd them out, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You can see in the dark. Lord, nothing's too hard for you. Lord, thank you. We can know that each of us is precious in your sight, specially made. And Lord, you've got plans for our lives. Lord, help us to discover them and to walk with you. We bless you, Lord, for your knowledge, for your power, your presence. Lord, you are a God of gods. There is none like you. And we bless and praise your holy name. Amen.
Amen.